Well, amen. If you have a Bible, would you open to Psalm 16? Psalm 16. What a joy it's already been to be together today, rejoicing that Christ is ours forevermore. Psalm 16, this is the word of God. It says this, a miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word today, God. Lord, there are so many times that we struggle, that we suffer, that we face times of difficulty, and we don't know what to do or what we need, God, but praise Jesus that you have given us this psalm that shows us what we really need, God. So would you bless us? Would you speak to us, God? Would you open our hearts and our minds and our lives to hear from you today so that we might see a picture of just how much we need Jesus? We pray these things in his name. Amen. Listen, I just need a vacation. I just need some peace and quiet. I just need a better job. I just need to go fishing. I just need a good night's sleep, or I just need some coffee. I just need some more money. I need to go shopping. I just need some alone time. Have you ever said anything like that before? Have you ever felt like, man, life is hard? Things are not going my way? There's just got to be something that I need that can make my life better. I mean, we say things like this. I just need my boss to appreciate me at work more. Or I need my husband to help out at home more. Or what I really need is my wife to be more supportive. I just need my kids to listen better. Or I just need my parents to listen better. When life is hard, we are desperate to find what we need. I mean, maybe I just need to exercise and eat better. Maybe that will make my life better. Maybe I just need to feel better about myself. Maybe that will fix it. Maybe I need something new, a new house or a new car, some new clothes, a new job, a new city. Maybe something new will make my life better. It seems like we spend so much of our time trying to find that one thing that will make life better, that one thing that we just need. Brothers and sisters, we've come to God's word today in Psalm 16, and God is telling us exactly what we need. David writes from a place of deep darkness, but he sees that one thing that he needs. David needs the presence of the Lord. And that's the one thing that we need to. You see, more than anything that we need, what we need is more and more of the presence of Jesus in our lives. His presence is that good that we're looking for. His presence is the reward that we're all living for. His presence is the joy that we all long for. You see, Psalm 16 is inviting us into the blessing of knowing and experiencing the presence of God in Christ Jesus. And so that's my prayer for us today, that God's word would help us to see that it's the presence of Jesus. That's the one thing that we really, really need. Notice first that Jesus is the good we are looking for. He's the good we're looking for. Psalm 16 begins as a prayer of desperation. In verse 1, David says this, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." Now, this is not like a shallow kind of bumper sticker verse. David is writing from a place of deep darkness. And he's calling out to the Lord in his distress. He really means this. Notice that the psalm begins with a musical note. At the beginning of verse 1, it says, a miktam of David. That word miktam is probably a Hebrew musical term that describes the music that would go with this psalm. And listen, there's other psalms in the Bible with this note. And here are the situations David was in when he wrote this type of psalm. Psalm 56 is a miktam when David had been captured by his enemies, the Philistines. Psalm 57 is a miktam when David was on the run from Saul, who was trying to kill him. Psalm 59 is a miktam when Saul actually sent men to find David to kill him. Listen, David isn't saying in verse 1, hey, I had a bad day, but God is good. Like hashtag Psalm 16, right? That's not what he's saying, right? David's in a desperate situation. He's crying to the Lord to preserve his life. He's praying for refuge and for shelter. And he looks to God as he prays. Listen to the rest of verse 1. He says, "Preserve me. I take refuge in you." And then verse 2, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." David looks to Yahweh. That's the name of God in all caps, L-O-R-D in your Bible. He looks to him and he says, "You are my Lord. You're my master." And David knows that there's no good for him apart from God. No matter how terrible things get, David knows that God will be his refuge. God is the good that David is looking for. No matter how hard life gets, David knows that God will not turn away from him. In verse 3, David addresses the people of Israel, and he calls them the saints and the excellent ones. They're holy and they're mighty because God is with them, and they're David's delight. But then David gives them a warning. Listen to verse 4. He says, "The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips." David is warning the people of Israel from running after other gods that they think might do them some good. He says, there's nothing good for you there. There's nothing but sorrow. And David says, I'm not going to make any offering to one of these false gods. I'm not going to take their name on my lips. And he wants the people of Israel to do the same. You see, the temptation to run after other gods was always about some good that they were looking for. I mean, why on earth did Israel complain in the desert and say, we should go back to Egypt? Let's go back to being slaves. Well, because they thought the gods of Egypt would do more good to them than what Yahweh was doing for them in the wilderness. Why would Israel so many times offer sacrifices to Baal? Because they thought this Canaanite storm god would send them rains and do good to them as a people. Why would they take the name of the goddess Asherah on their lips because they thought that she would make their families and their communities fruitful. They thought there was good to be found. And David is saying, listen, the good that we are looking for is only in the Lord. And David is calling us to do the same. He's giving us that same message today. Now, I don't think anybody woke up this morning and had the thought, maybe I should make some sacrifices to the storm god. Maybe that would make life a little better. I don't think anybody's building a sacred pole in their backyard so that they could take the name of Asherah on their lips. I don't think anybody in this room is considering giving their life to the Canaanite fish god Dagon. Maybe you are, I don't think so. We're certainly not running after these ancient gods, but man, we are running to anything and everything that we think will do us good. We run after any idol that we think will do good to us. We choose the idol of pleasure, even if it hurts the people around us. Why? Because we think it'll do good to us. We chase the idol of money, even if it can steal our love for God. Why would we do that? Because we think it will do some good for us. We chase the idol of success, even if we have to compromise our faith. Why? Because we think it will do us the greatest good. We can turn marriage into an idol. We can turn our families into an idol. We can turn our church into an idol. We can turn ourselves into an idol. Listen, this is our great problem as sinners. We seek our greatest good in anything and everything but God. But there's hope for us, isn't there? While we chase after idols, God comes chasing after us. Like a father running out after his lost son. Or like a husband chasing after his unfaithful wife. Or a shepherd running after his lost sheep. Jesus came running after us to seek us and to save us. And by pouring out an offering of his blood, he has rescued us and freed us from seeking our good apart from God. You see, because of Jesus, we can say with confidence what verse 2 says, I have no good apart from you. Jesus is the good that we are looking for. We have no good apart from him. So where are you looking for good in life? When life is hard, where do you run? In times of trouble, what are you looking for? Listen, there are lots of good gifts in this world. God has filled them up. He wants us to enjoy the blessings of family and friends, to experience the blessings of a church, to rest, to have good food, and all of these things are wonderful gifts from God. So don't hear me say we should not receive good gifts with thanksgiving. We should. But Psalm 16 is calling us to find our greatest good not in the gifts, but in the giver of those gifts. So listen, when you hear yourself saying, man, I just need fill in the blank, that's your sign to say, what I really need is Jesus. The good that we are looking for is found in the presence of Jesus. You can spend your days looking for the perfect diet or the perfect lifestyle or the perfect career. But in the end, only Jesus is perfect. And there's nothing but sorrow for anyone who would chase after other gods. So listen, don't believe the lie that, yeah, Jesus is good, but there's got to be something better. Don't believe that lie. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we have no good apart from him. So, brothers and sisters, let's seek the presence of Jesus because he is the good that we are all looking for. Jesus is the good we look for. Notice second that Jesus is the reward that we live for. So, David turns now to celebrate the presence of God in his life. Listen again to verses 5 and 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Many people believe that David is writing this psalm away from his home in Jerusalem. David was king, but he spent a good bit of his life on the run. Even before he was king, he was on the run from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. And as an old man, he spends a good bit of time on the run from Absalom, his son, who's trying to kill him. Listen, David is far from home, but he knows that he could never be far from the Lord. David is using in these verses language from the book of Joshua. You see, God had rescued his people and brought them into the promised land. The promised land that was this land that was flowing with milk and honey and a beautiful land with blessing and life. And in the book of Joshua, you can go read it this afternoon, there is chapter after chapter after chapter of God dividing up the land for all of the tribes of Israel. The land was divided into portions, into lots. They drew lines for each tribe. The land became an inheritance for the people. So do you see what David is saying here? He's saying, listen, I don't need my palace in Jerusalem. I don't need my plot of land in Judah. I don't need my inheritance in Israel. I have the Lord, and he's my chosen portion. He is my cup of blessing. He is my lot. He is my pleasant place. He is my beautiful inheritance. David is celebrating that it's the Lord who is his reward. It doesn't matter what's going on in his life. It doesn't matter how hard things get for him. The Lord is his reward. And he's not just saying, hey, yeah, I know one day in the end God's going to be my reward. No, he's saying he's my reward right now. The Lord is with him. Look at verses 7 and 8. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. David knows that God is with him and guiding him. David is confident that he will not be shaken because God is at his right hand. It doesn't matter how hard things get for David. It doesn't matter what he feels. God is with David. God is for David. God is David's great reward. You know, this summer, athletes from around the world are going to compete in Paris in the Olympic Games. And they do it because they want to win. They want those rewards, right? They want those medals hanging around their neck. They spend their whole lives training. They do absolutely everything they can to be the best they can be. They give it all because they want to win that reward. Don't you think it would be strange if an Olympic athlete was excited to go to Paris so that he could get a t-shirt? Why are you here? Oh, man, I want a t-shirt so bad. You would say, that's just crazy. You're a crazy person. Don't you want to stand on that podium? Don't you want a medal hanging around your neck? Why settle for a cheap reward when you could have the best? You know, I think we do the same thing with the Lord. We have in Christ the most unbelievable reward. But too often we settle for a cheap reward. We have the treasure of heaven. And we spend hours wasting time scrolling on our phones. We have the riches of his grace, and we spend so much of our life just trying to measure up. We have the unfading glory of Jesus, but we spend our lives so focused on our stuff that's just going to waste away. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 16 is calling us to live like God himself is our reward. And we will never do that unless we see just how beautiful Jesus is. You see, Jesus is the great reward of the gospel. He died and rose again so that he might be our greatest reward. Jesus is not just the way to get the reward. He is the reward himself. Listen, the gospel is not about getting us to heaven. It's about getting us to Jesus. Jesus saved us for himself so that his presence might be our great reward. I mean, what did he say to that dying thief on the cross next to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. Listen, all the wonderful gifts of salvation, forgiveness, and new life, and eternal life, and heaven, all of those gifts are about getting us to Jesus. The presence of Jesus is the greatest reward of the gospel. And see, we must never treat Jesus as the way to get us to what we actually really want. I mean, think about your suffering in your life. What if God took away absolutely every ounce of suffering in your life, but didn't give you Jesus? Would you be good with that? What if God provided for absolutely every need that you ever had for the rest of your life, but didn't give you Jesus? Would you be okay with that? What if God gave you heaven, but didn't give you Jesus? Would you be okay with that? Psalm 16 is calling us to live deeply in the reality that Jesus is our reward. So when the suffering won't end, we can be at peace because we know what? That the Lord is our chosen portion. When the sorrows won't cease, we can rest because we know that the lines have fallen for us in pleasant places in Christ. When life just seems too hard, we can be confident that we have a beautiful inheritance in Christ Jesus. He is our great reward. So, brothers and sisters, let's set the Lord always before us because he's our great reward. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. Maybe he's not your reward. I'm sure there's some of you in this room that's true. He's not your reward. You can't say with confidence that Christ is your beautiful inheritance. Well, friends, there's good news for you today. If you would repent and believe in the good news, Jesus can be yours. You need to repent because you've sinned against the holy God. And you need to believe in Jesus because he is the only way that we can be saved. He lived a life you couldn't live. He died the death you deserve. And he rose again so that he might be our greatest treasure. So what's keeping you from taking the name of Jesus on your lips today, to confessing him as Lord? Why would you not trust him today for the first time? Come to Jesus and receive in him your great reward. If that's you, I'm praying that God would save you and would give you the faith to believe in Jesus. Because the truth is that Jesus is the reward that we all live for. Notice lastly, number three, that Jesus is the joy we long for. So David's heart of desperation at the beginning of the psalm has turned to a heart of joy here at the end. Listen to verse 9. He says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure." Listen, life is hard for David, but God is good and that gives him joy. Darkness might be deep over David's life, but God is his reward, and that gives him joy. David says his whole being rejoices. He's talking about like the pulse of his heart that he feels inside of his body. With every beat of his heart, he feels the joy of the Lord. He's glad and he rejoices in God. But how can David say that? How can someone filled with so much suffering say that he is filled with joy with every beat of his heart? How can someone who's known so much pain say that he is glad? How can someone who stood face to face with death so many times, how can he be joyful? Because David knows something about the God that he serves. He knows that God will not abandon him, even in death. Listen to verse 10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. Sheol is the place of the dead, and David knows that not even death can separate him from the love of God. And more than that, David knows that not even death can stop the promises of God. You see, God had promised David that a king from his line would rule over heaven and earth someday. This promised king would sit on David's throne forever. And David knows that the Holy One will not see corruption. If he reigns forever, then death cannot defeat him. You see, this holy king, David is looking forward to a day when he would lay down his life to save his people, but God would not let him see corruption. God would loose the pangs of death because it would not be possible for him to be held by it. David is looking forward to a day when death might have its sting, but this promised king would have the victory. David is rejoicing in the resurrection of King Jesus. And that's how David can have unwavering joy, even in suffering, even in the face of death. And listen, that's how you can have unwavering joy too. It doesn't matter how much we suffer in this life, Jesus is still alive and we can rejoice in him. It doesn't matter how difficult we think life is, Jesus is still alive and we can rejoice in him. Even in the deepest pain, we can rejoice in Jesus. Even in the heaviest sorrow, we can rejoice in Jesus. Even in the darkest nights, we can rejoice in Jesus. We can rejoice because he always keeps us. He always holds us. He always cares for us. We can rejoice because he will never abandon us. We can rejoice because he will never forsake us. We can rejoice because he will never stop loving us. You see, we don't rejoice because life is easy. We don't rejoice because, hey, we've learned to look on the bright side of life. We don't rejoice because, listen, things just gotta get better, right? No, we rejoice because Jesus is alive. Jesus is with us, and in his presence there is the fullness of joy. Jesus is that joy that we are all longing for. Listen to verse 11. What a verse. You have known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David is saying that God has shown him the path of life. What's he talking about? Is it following the laws of Moses or living by wisdom or just enjoying the good things in life? What is the path of life? Don't we all try to find that secret path to good life? There's got to be some mindset or some way of life that's just going to make everything great. There's got to be some powder that like I can mix in my water in the morning that's just going to fix every problem that I have in my life, right? At least that's what the ads tell me, right? There's got to be some way to have a happy life. Don't we all want to be happy? Don't we all want to have that joy? Beloved, don't miss what David is saying here. What is the path of life? Look at the very next line. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. What's the key to everlasting joy in life? Being in the presence of Jesus. Notice David says it's the fullness of joy, not just a little bit of joy, not just some joy, not just a lot of joy, the fullness of joy. If you want to experience the most joy possible, it's found in the presence of Jesus. That doesn't mean there's not other sources of joy. There are many. But it means we will never experience the fullness of joy. That kind of joy that we all long for, we will never experience it apart from the presence of Jesus. Why? Well, look at the last line. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Right there in the presence of God, we have pleasures forevermore. Pleasures to enjoy forever. Pleasures to delight in, pleasures to celebrate, right there at the right hand of God. God himself is that pleasure that we should enjoy forevermore. So am I saying that we are supposed to enjoy God? No. God is saying that we are supposed to enjoy God. God, in his word, says he wants us to be supremely happy in him. God wants us to rejoice and be glad in the presence of Jesus. So I wonder if you're struggling to be joyful today. It's true that every Christian, we have every reason to rejoice, but it's also true that we find reasons to not be joyful. I know that I can be a grumpy dad. I can be a frustrated husband. Could be a discouraged pastor. I can be bitter at times. I can be critical. I can be cold. And it can be really, really hard to make myself be joyful. But the truth is, it's not just hard, it's impossible. We cannot make ourselves joyful. Verse 11 is as clear as day. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Show me someone who has the fullness of joy, and I'll show you someone who's been with Jesus. Show me someone who's struggling with joy, and I'll show you someone who has not been with Jesus. It's that simple. Jesus is the joy that we all long for, and if we want to experience that joy, we must be with him. So here's a few very quick ways to find your joy in Jesus. First, get your heart happy in Jesus. George Mueller is often seen as one of the most faithful and fruitful ministers of the gospel. You've heard us quote him say this before. He said, "The first great and primary business to which I ought to attend to every day is to have my soul happy in the Lord." Listen, I know we got a lot to do each day, but nothing is more important than getting our hearts happy in Jesus. So take time in the morning to pray and to read his word, to think about the Lord. Do you want to be joyful? Get your heart happy in Jesus. Second, spend time with Jesus throughout the day. I know this may seem very overly simple, but to experience someone's presence, you actually have to be in their presence, right? I mean, to know the Lord is not enough. We have to be in the presence of the Lord. Like a newly married couple that just can't wait to spend time together, or grandparents who are so excited to see their grandchildren. We need that kind of desire to be with Jesus. I know we got a lot of stuff that we got to do, but we have lots of time throughout the day to be with Jesus. If you got 20 minutes, don't grab your phone, grab your Bible. If you've got a long drive, don't listen to music, spend time in prayer. Pause throughout the day to spend time with Jesus. David says in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. I've made every effort to be in the presence of God. So do you want to be joyful? Spend time with Jesus throughout the day. Next, enjoy Jesus with his people. Back in verse 3, David says his soul delights in the people of God. Wait, aren't we supposed to delight in God and not people? David can delight in this faithful people of Israel because they're delighting in the Lord together. You see, people who find joy in Jesus love to be with people who find joy in Jesus. Maybe you're struggling to find joy because you're not delighting in Jesus with others. Is church just about checking off your religious box, or is it about being with the brothers and sisters who love to delight in Jesus together? Do you want to be joyful? Rejoice in Jesus with his people. Lastly, rejoice in his coming. Psalm 16 is inviting us to experience the joyful presence of the Lord here and now. But it's also pointing us to the day when our joy will be complete. There's coming a day where we will gather together with all the blood-bought people from every nation and tongue and tribe. We will see him in all his glory and beauty and splendor. And on that day, we will do what? We will rejoice. We will rejoice that every sin has been paid for. We will rejoice that every evil has been judged. We will rejoice that every tear has been wiped away. We will rejoice that every wound has been healed. We will rejoice that death itself has been destroyed. And we will be with Jesus forever. We will live in his presence. And we will experience the fullness of joy forevermore. Brothers and sisters, that's the one thing that we need. The presence of Jesus is that one thing. So let's believe this. Let's live like this. Let's long for this. Let's find in Jesus the good that we are looking for. Let's find in him the reward that we are living for. Let's find in Jesus that joy that we are longing for. Let's find in Jesus that one thing that we need. Let's find it in the presence of Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. God, you have made known to us the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the good, that he's the reward, that he's the joy. God, I pray for those who don't know Jesus, would you bring them to faith in him even today? And for those of us that do, would you help us to find in his presence that one thing that we so desperately need? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.